I actually already knew that.
I'm here to testify on behalf of keeping Colwood Golf Course zoned open space. It is on a floodplain and at risk of flooding from a breach in the Marine Drive dike. As we've learned with the floods in Vernonia, any new construction will need to begin on a second-story level. Why should we consider new construction when Cully neighborhood is so park deficient?
Thank you.
My name is Merle Ann McVeigh. I am a homeowner in Concordia neighborhood. And I want to speak more to general livability issues. I agree totally with all of the ecological and the health issues, reasons for not changing the zoning. But from my personal experience, and I've biked many times through the golf course, you know, gone out Alderwood and all, and stopped and watched the birds. And it's the green space and the trees for me is very life-affirming. It fills my heart and soul, you know. And I know for me, if you were to ask me two things that are the best reason to live in Portland, it's the parks and open spaces and the Multnomah County Library. Got to get that pitch in there. As we are becoming progressively more densely populated, that open spaces are even more important. And the idea of some kind of regional park or whatever pleases me. Sounds good. But to me, figuring out what to do with that land is the next step down the road. First, we have to have it as an open space or we can't do any of those things. And there is a tradition that talks about looking at something in terms of what's the impact for seven generations. And I think that's more important than a multi-million-dollar sale, okay, is that we look at the well-being over time. Thank you.
My name is Donald McKinley, and I'm a member of Columbia Co-Housing LLC, which is developing the land and buildings at Northeast 46th Avenue between Killingsworth and Jarrett as Columbia Eco Village, approximately 1.5 miles from the Colwood site. I will live there starting in the spring along with 36 new families. We have deliberately foregone excessive development and focused on preserving and enhancing the outdoor spaces, the beneficial vegetations, the ecosystem components, and the general state of connection to living things that allows a community to experience and participate in the beauty and bounty of nature. Our greater community, which includes the neighborhoods surrounding the Colwood site, is, as you know, in serious need of similar development that improves rather than destroys the opportunities for connectivity with nature and healthy outdoor activities. It is the responsibility of the city to facilitate those opportunities. Rezoning the Colwood site to industrial would undermine them. It's time to put every decision into the context of the greater needs of the community and the goal of meeting those needs. This part of Portland desperately needs accessible natural areas, urban canopy, outdoor play space, community gathering and picnic spaces, outdoor educational resources, and community gardens. Allowing an industrial zone on this site would be turning away from our needs and goals. With its history of pollution and brownfield creation, Portland industry, in this case, on this site, is a threat to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next three.
Linda Robinson, Jim Wentworth, Jim Howell. They'll be followed by Mark Kelly, Tony DeFalco, and Peter Tenau.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and please state your name for the record, and we'll start with you, Linda.
Okay. My name is Linda Robinson. I'm a founding member of the Columbia Still Watershed Council and a longtime park and environmental advocate, and I'm speaking as the park and environmental advocate this evening. I wanted to start by talking about another project I'm working on. I'm on the citywide tree code task force where we're looking at ways to make it more equitable and more understandable and overlap, get rid of overlaps and gaps and the like. And one of the things that the development people and the industrial people keep telling us is that the landscaping requirements that are there now are excessive, difficult to work with. They would like to reduce them. You know, there have been a proposal recently that maybe this is an opportunity to mix open space and industrial development with some of the new modeling we've heard about. I think it'll be a hard sell, and there's no guarantee that that would happen if you rezone it now without any, you know, conditions like that on it. One idea that has come out of that is the idea of reserving some green parcels in the industrial areas at certain intervals, which can be used for mitigation to do landscaping and shrubs and trees to replace the function of the trees that will be lost as the other parcels are developed into industrial. You know, that's a possible use of this, and the mitigation bank. It's one idea. I also want to talk about the riparian areas are important habitats. Those are the ones that have been identified in the inventories by Metro and the city. But riparian areas are even more valuable habitats if you have upland habitat next to it. And the area particularly between the two branches of the slough would make those riparian areas even more valuable as habitat. The slough is also an important corridor for wildlife from the Sandy River to the Willamette River. But to make it function, a narrow corridor, it needs nodes. It needs green nodes at regular intervals. This is one of those green nodes. It's important that we maintain enough of those to make it a viable corridor. And much doesn't have habitat value now, but it can be restored. I have a lot of other points which I made in the written testimony which I submitted, and I'll stop at that point.
Okay, thank you. Jim, why don't you go next?
My name's Jim Howell. I live in the Beaumont neighborhood. And I'd like to address this in a little different tack. I think that 138 acres of open space is of far more value from an economic standpoint as open space than it is being chopped up into an industrial park. There's a lot of potential here for perhaps a world-class botanical gardens. I don't know if any of you have ever been up to Victoria and seen the Beutrick Gardens. That garden attracts over 1 million people a year, and it is a huge economic engine for Victoria. And one of the reasons it is so popular is it's so accessible. You can go there by public transportation. And that's an opportunity that you have here, that this is a very accessible site. It's 6 minutes from the international airport by bus, if a bus ran in that direction. There's an opportunity for Columbia Boulevard bus that should have been put in long ago, connecting the yellow line to the red line in the Columbia corridor. And so it has a tremendous opportunity. It's location, and the effect of not just the jobs that it would create if such a facility were built there, but the spin-off economic benefits of tourism and all is potential, is a greatly far more potential, I think, than an industrial park, which is not a very excited opportunity for 138 acres.
Thank you. Sir.
Hi. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Jim Wentworth Plato. I'm a Cully resident, a city resident, and a regional resident because of our natural resources. As the gentleman behind me stated, it is a complete island of open space in a commercial zone. And his testimony speaks to the uniqueness of this. The large size also is unique in a park. I question the development of 1,900 jobs and wonder if those jobs would be long-term jobs or if they would just be there long enough to build the buildings. I challenge the statement that it's too far to be useful to Cully neighbors. I believe its location is ideal for the entire Northeast, if not the entire city. I may stand alone in this, but I believe that PDX is just as likely to shrink as grow. Airlines are cutting service left and right due to increasing fuel costs, and it's doubtful that these costs are going to decrease. Concerning parcel number 7, under current codes, I don't believe it can be developed anyway, due to the fact that it's either in the water or on slopes too steep around this water. I'm also an ISA board-certified master arborist, and as the pitch on my arms can testify, I work with trees every day. And with the infill in our city, these smaller lot sizes aren't capable of sustaining larger trees. And we need that canopy. as the Greater Green Initiative is speaking to. And unfortunately, the proposed Thomas Culley Park is a dump, literally. As such, trees cannot be planted there because the roots will penetrate that impervious cover. And so we don't really have that as a possibility. This site has 500 trees, many of which are mature, and that vertical landscape is greatly beneficial to our area. Thank you.
Thank you. Three.
Mark Kelly, Tony DeFalco, excuse me, Peter Tenno, and then the last person will be Wes Kemper.
Hey, Mark.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and we'll start with you on the right.
Thank you. Right. My name is Tony DeFalco. I live in the Culley neighborhood, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to comment on this important proposal. One of the most important functions of government is to protect the health and well-being of its citizens. And you have the opportunity with this decision to do both and save a little money while you're at it. The Culley neighborhood is park and open space deficient. And just last night, we were fortunate to have in Portland the nation's most prestigious authority on parks in urban areas. Peter Harnick from the Trust for Public Land gave a presentation. And in that presentation, he cited a new report that just came out regarding the value that parks and recreation areas give to municipal areas. And this report, basically, the bottom line is that the benefits of parks and recreation areas, for the most part for urban areas, far outweigh the potential benefits of proposals such as the one before you to do a light industrial in this parcel. I will submit that for the record. This is a culturally and ethnically diverse neighborhood. Providing additional open space and green space would benefit the people in this area. Native American Youth and Family Center is located in the neighborhood, and this is an excellent opportunity to partner with local tribes to create some culturally specific places within the park. You are spending a tremendous amount of money to mitigate stormwater and other air and water quality impacts in the city of Portland. I commend your activities on that front. This would retard that progress and ultimately cost you more money. Development generally does not pan out with respect to the infrastructure cost and the mitigation afterwards. Thank you. You have many partners here that are ready to help you, and I hope you take them up off that, take them up on that offer with your decision.
Thank you.
Hi, commissioners. My name is Mark Conley. I was born and raised here 51 years. I'm a graduate of landscape architecture, environmental studies, and healthcare garden design to address economic, aesthetic, and cultural changes in our city and our state and our region. I don't buy the jobs, economic arguments, and forecasts. Funny, I work for two companies near Colwood, and my pay is $9 and $10 an hour, not family wage. Remember, your decision to change zoning has irrevocable consequences. The attorney is right. Colwood is an island, and this is very important. What it was original is not relevant anymore. What is relevant is what it is now. It is an incredibly beautiful, scenic island of important size ensconced in the midst of intense development. It seems we are vastly underrating the aesthetic importance of this area. Over all else, the entire site is high-value habitat for people, for us, and we need the aesthetic relief in this as a large interconnected node of aesthetic open land. Landscape architect Olmsted had the same vision when he designed Central Park in New York City in the late 1800s. This site has many similarities to Central Park. This is our Central Park paradigm. There are many other alternatives to industrial that could be considered, such as tourism. Thank you for your consideration. P.S. I have photos I can provide if you need them. PPS, Forest Park and the South Portland blocks are Olmsted Brothers parks.
Thank you. Peter?
my name is Peter Tenno. Converting Colwood from open space to industrial sanctuary designation would be, in my opinion, a huge mistake. I appreciate the need for increasing the inventory of industrial property and providing for the future. On past occasions, I've not opposed such expansion, but this particular property, because of its precise location, because of the strength of its many natural assets, and its future potential, makes no sense. Find another piece more appropriate for industry. If Colwood is now designated open space, it was for good reason. Colwood presents an unusually rare opportunity for an extensive comprehensive development because of its large size, one which would accommodate a balance of various park needs and passive environmental preservation important to Columbia SLU. Large size, 150 acres is better than three parcels, 50 acres. If we take into consideration the needs for environmental systems, animal habitat, and so forth, and continuity. These are two great principles in environmentalism, and I apply those to this argument. Having served in previous years on the Columbia SLU Watershed Council and actively participating in its many impressive efforts, the most glaringly deficiency was a lack of wooded upland. The addition of Colwood would address this imbalance. In a time of rapid growth, Portland needs more than ever to seize the chance to secure in perpetuity this outstandingly worthy green space. In my view, Colwood would be the crowning jewel, the heart of the Columbia SLU watershed, fulfilling the vision of those earlier supporters who grasped its full value, and I'm sure the Olmsteds would too. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one more sign
up. One more, and that's Wes Kempfer.
Is there anybody else in the audience who didn't sign up who would wish to testify in opposition to the applicant? Do we have somebody? Well, please come up. At least two of you come up. We'll get to you next. Okay. Welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and please state your name for the record, and we'll start with you, sir.
Thank you. My name is Wes Kempfer. I'm a Concordia neighborhood resident. I'm also a member of the Columbia Group, Sierra Club, XCOM, Executive Committee. I guess as a resident of that area, I have to state my appreciation for just the presence of it as an open space. I recently rode my bike through there. It was an evening at sunset. And I was looking out over the SLU, and just the impact of the sun going down, the redness of the sun, the sky reflecting off the water, and then the openness that you feel because of the surrounding green spaces to the north and the south, that would definitely be lost if we turn this into an industrial zone. There are other parts of the SLU where you see where they've preserved maybe a little strip of green space, but you really just have industry to the north, industry on the right, industry to the left, and I think it would be a great loss. The upland value, the value of the upland for the riparian zone is also very important. I also would stress the importance of considering, as one woman stated, the impact 7 generations from now. Once we zone this industrial, we can't go back. And this was originally zoned as an open space, and I think it's very unfair to turn around and zone it as industrial. Thank you.
Ma'am? Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Eileen Graham, and I am a resident of the Cully neighborhood. And I urge you to support the hearing officer's recommendation. The Cully neighborhood is recognized in the Portland Park Bureau 2020 Vision Plan as being extremely park deficient. The Sacagawea Park is a mere 1.5-acre off-leash dog park. The 3-acre donation of parkland adjacent to that property is fenced off and unimproved. The 25-acre Thomas Cully Park master plan has begun, but there are no funds to develop this former landfill property. It too is fenced off and unimproved. There are over 14,000 people living in the 2,008-acre Cully neighborhood. Currently, there are 547 acres of industrial property and 157 acres of open space property. Of those 157 acres, Colwood is 138 of those. The applicant's rezone request for this site would change these figures to 663 acres of industrial and 41 acres of open space, and that 41 acres would include the 22.5-acre donation. Industrial property is easier to obtain, while open space property is not. The Park Bureau is mandated to provide parks and recreation services, including natural areas and trails, to meet Portland residents' needs. Carrying out this mandate includes analyzing all existing open space opportunities, including privately owned resources. I'm sure that the number 75 bus could be extended, the bus line could be extended so that it has access to the Colwood properties, so we could get there by bus. Just yesterday, I was on that property with my 4-year-old grandson. He likes to climb in the big trees that are just east of the clubhouse, and I assure you we had no problem getting access to the property. Thank you.
Thank you. Margo?
Margo Barnett. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the whole issue of balancing that needs to be done as you look at this particular issue of potentially rezoning open space. Open space has incredible value to the public, and there is a real need for the public to have some sense of real certainty. We really look to the comp plan as providing some of that to us. Open space, even privately owned open space, even though the public may not be able to use it, does serve many values to the public. It provides public health values, as you've already heard, in terms of air and water quality. In addition to that, just the fact that it's breaking up the other kinds of intense uses that we provide for with both industrial and residential land. As we look at increasing the densification of all of these neighborhoods, both in terms of the residential uses and some of the industrial and commercial uses, we're really asking people to adjust to these changes so that we can preserve our urban growth boundary and our rural areas. But there are a lot of trade-offs that we need to be looking through, and I think that this question that you're looking at about balancing industrial land and the open space land is part of those that decision-making that we need to be making. And I'm really concerned that we not lose the values, and also look at the fact that there are trade-offs that we're making in terms of the open. If we change the open space on Colwood, we're losing the trees, we're losing the value that's provided in terms of the infrastructure that's provided by that open space. And are we really going to then be subsidizing that as a public? Because we know that as it gets to, if it becomes developed as industrial land, that development will not pay for all of the cost of the infrastructure that we're losing. We've already invested money in restoring parts of that property in the slough, and then we're going to be ending up needing to spend more money to restore the lost green infrastructure that we have in terms of the canopy. And so I'm really concerned that we provide that balance as you look at this and make your decision.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's all.
Sir, you can come up next. Do we have anybody else who wishes to testify in opposition to the applicant? This is the time to come forward. Okay.
I'm Bob Thompson, a resident of the Cully neighborhood, Lieutenant Colonel retired, and former base civil engineer at the Air National Guard base for a period of about 10 years. There is an excellent photo by the Army Corps of Engineers right after the Vanport flood that shows this entire area underwater. So you got to realize this is really a swamp. It's the worst possible area for commercial development. And the only thing that keeps this place drained is the Columbia Slough. And during a 1996 flood of Portland, the Air National Guard took a bunch of their airplanes and trucks and parked them at the parking lot up there at the Colwood Golf Course. So it's vital that this whole area, there's nothing been done to the dike. The airport is 18 feet below the Columbia River. And so whenever we have an ice storm or something, we have to get the emergency generators to keep the pumps going in order to keep this whole area from flooding. So whether you insure an area that's in a floodplain, I kind of doubt. But it's a really crucial area as far as maintaining the flood and the drainage of that whole entire area out there. So this is really, you know, the movie Chicago comes to mind, where you can razzle-dazzle them with charts and all that stuff. But it's whether you're going to reward the few at the expense of the many, or really consider this a political decision as trying to support the people in this neighborhood. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to come here and talk. My name is Patrick Metzger, and I'm a resident of Concordia neighborhood in Portland. I support the recommendation by the hearings officer to retain the Colwood Golf Course as open space, which is also supported by the Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland Parks Department, Oregon Department of Transportation, and the Culley and Concordia Neighborhood Associations. One thing that hasn't been mentioned too much is that this site is a watershed function, which benefits the natural hydrological cycle. And in the environmental overlay zone is already applied along the slough, and so they're offered to give this area to the Parks Department. Doesn't really mean much because it can't be developed anyway. There's a quote which is in the recommendations from the hearings officer that says, "Open space is a precious and limited quantity resource which would be extremely difficult to replace. And if Colwood remains open space, it could be used for generations, whether it be developed into a park or other community use. And the economic argument has no guarantee of longevity." Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So now is the time for the applicant, for rebuttal for the applicant. And I'm going to take down that map because I like to see our attorney.
Five. I only need five. Maybe six, if you'll just indulge me. Members of the council, a few points in rebuttal. Neighborhood association said there's sufficient industrial land in the area, you don't need this. That's wrong. All the sites that are industrial that are vacant are way too small to accommodate the kind of industrial users this area needs. I think you heard that from the real estate representatives who testified. Perhaps the best rebuttal to that is a statement from the record from Stephen Kuntz, senior economic planner for the city, who said, quote, "Industrial development of this site is a rare economic development opportunity." Also, a quote from Mark Ellsworth of the governor's economic revitalization team, quote, "DLCD supports the city in making this property available for industrial development." And in that letter, he offered the assistance and pledged the support of eight state agencies that the governor's economic revitalization team coordinates. That's a letter in the record to BDS. Next, the comment was the site is not shovel-ready. There are problems with sewer, water, transportation. All you have to do is look at the staff report's conditions that we've agreed to, and those conditions list each of the improvements that have to be made to provide adequate sewer and water. The letters in the record from those service providers all indicate that those conditions will adequately serve the site with the needed sewer and water at our expense. With respect to the transportation improvements, we've already pointed out to you, we're obligated to make $6 million of improvements, and we've negotiated those with ODOT. People have said, we're not doing anything by giving you those 22 acres. Well, let's get the facts out. It's zoned EC. EC is not EP. EC means that it has development potential if we meet certain city standards. Out of that 22 acres, among the standards we'd have to meet would be to simply stay back a certain number of feet from the slough itself and demonstrate that the other areas could be developed with maintaining the proper stormwater runoff. So number one, we're giving up development rights. Number two, we're going beyond just saying we won't develop it. We're giving it to the public, and we're making it publicly accessible, something that if this is turned down won't be the case. It will remain in private ownership. You won't be able to have a kayak landing area improved with $100,000 we're going to give. It seems like people here have blown that off. Mr. Salinger was very dismissive of Metro and the City of Portland in its habitat ranking. Both of those agencies went through a lot of effort to apply Goal 5. And in the record, you will see that each, the city and Metro, determine that the property we want rezoned industrial does not have any meaningful habitat value whatsoever. In addition to that, there's an on-site study, not just an area one, an on-site study by Pacific Habitat Services that reached the same conclusion using the city's methodology of ranking all the habitat factors and found there was no significant habitat value there under Goal 5. Someone said BES does not support the change. I'd refer you to BES's letter dated February 22, 2008, in which they support the change with conditions. And our difference of opinion with BES is whether or not that parcel 4 is going to be included in the donation or not. And we agree with the conditions in the BES letter. People have said, well, the city's offered to buy it from us and Metro's offered to buy it from us. Not true. City Parks has never offered to buy this property from us. Metro has never offered to buy it from us. If you would call Metro up right now, as our team has, and said, are you interested in buying it, their answer will be what it was to us, which is no. Cully needs a park. Sure does. Ought to go improve the 20-acre Cully Park land that now exists. We think the park ought to be in that part of the neighborhood where it can serve the most people and people that can be within close, attractive proximity of it. The alternative site that we showed you, somebody said it's a rock quarry. It's not. It may have had some gravel extraction in the future. There may be the need for some fill, but it is not a rock quarry. It was said that Colwood was designated as open space for reasons of its environmental value. No assessment of its environmental value was made when Colwood was zoned open space. If you go to the letter from Doug Hardy of the city, April 25, 2005, he explains that when Colwood was initially zoned open space, it was without any environmental assessment and for the sole reason that it was a golf course. All golf courses, apparently, when they were initially zoned, were zoned open space. And then another person scoffed at the 1,900 jobs that would be created. We didn't make that up. We looked at the city's industrial district atlas that computes actual numbers of jobs from actual industrial development. The ratio was 17 per acre. If you multiply that by the 115 acres we're seeking an industrial zone change, it's 1,900 jobs. That's our source. We didn't make that up. So those are the points I offer in rebuttal. And then I have two procedural questions.
Any questions?
I have one question. Mr. Janik, if we reject the application of your client, do you maintain that that would constitute a taking?
For the record, it would be our position that the rejection would be an inverse condemnation.
Sorry?
It would be an inverse condemnation.
And could you explain that on the record?
An inverse condemnation exists where a local government takes actions that denies the property owner through their use of their land use laws of any economic utility of the property. So, for example, if because of market conditions we can't operate a golf course and you say this must remain as open space, there's no other economic utility to open space. And that open space designation would have the effect of an inverse condemnation.
Have you provided any evidence?
No.
Well, I mean, we would be getting into argument, but I mean, we have land use goals that we are charged with balancing a number of different factors. So, I mean, I appreciate that he gave the response he should have given for his clients, but I think the evidence is clear that we, as a municipality, have the ability to balance a number of competing factors with respect to this claim.
Okay, your procedural questions?
Well, the city attorney advised if we had any constitutional objections to the conditions that we should raise them now. I just did with respect to not so much a condition but an outright denial of our application. And with respect to a partial approval requiring that we give, in addition to the 22 acres, we give parcel number 4, which is another 13 acres, we would object to that on constitutional grounds because there is no Dolan connection between the impact we are having and the requirement that we give that, and that also would be an inverse condemnation. So I'm not here to argue those points. The city attorney appropriately directed that I have to make those points, and I have done so. The second and final question is, I thought I heard that we would have, after the record is closed, our statutory right to, within 7 days, submit a written argument, but no new evidence, and I'd like to confirm that so I know what I'm going to do for the next 7 days.
Yes, you will have that right.
Thank you. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did anybody up here have any questions of staff, or are we ready for, like, okay, this is the time where council deliberates?
Mr. President. Makes a decision.
Yes.
I'd move to deny the appeal and accept the hearings officer's recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Discussion on the motion? Okay. Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
I support this motion for the following reasons and with the following sort of conditions. I just want to make it really clear that tonight's vote, for me, is not a choice between creating a park and or choosing between a park and an industrial business development. That's not what this is legally about. This is about, for me, making a judgment on an application that has been put forward to go from open space to an industrial designation. The applicant has to provide the burden of proof. And the hearings officer stated, as did Steve Janik very effectively, that sometimes we have to balance some highly disparate goals and policies that are contained within the comprehensive plan. That is the process, that is the job of this process that ultimately leads to us. The burden of proof, I think, is on the applicant to show that the new map designation requested will equally or better meet each relevant comprehensive plan policy than the old designation. And again, there's a lot to balance within that. I thought that the, given that the balancing is required, that the hearings officer describing the two common approaches for weighing an applicant is the scorecard approach versus the LexisNexis link approach, that the scorecard approach is where you identify all the policies on one side of an application and all the other policies on the other side of the application is one way. But given that there is a lot of balancing to be had here, the Nexus link approach, which provides some weight topically or geographically to the issue at hand with the site that we're talking about, I agree with the hearings code officer that that makes more sense. And when you do that, I think you come to the conclusion that there is other industrial land within this part of town that is available. It might not be everything that someone might want, but it is available. Whereas OS land, OS designated land, is irreplaceable. So if we were to turn, if someone wanted to locate, that is looking to locate here, has choices within the city in this part of town, but we don't have other land that's easily designatable as OS. So I agree with the hearings code officer when he said that this is an irreplaceable asset. And so weighing all the considerations, I am supporting this motion to agree with the hearing code officer's denial of the application. Aye.
May I step in, President of the Council, please? I just want to make sure, I want to confirm what Commissioner Leonard and I discussed earlier, that this is a tentative vote roll call that we are intending both to receive additional final argument and that additional findings.
Yes.
I just want to make sure everyone is clear on
contingent
that.
Contingent upon those.
Okay.
Those.
So I'm supposed to say I reserve the right to change my mind based on whatever else might come in?
There will be final argument, which may be very persuasive.
There might be a final argument, which might or might not change my mind.
Fish.
I don't know whether it's a point of order, but I would seek some clarification on this. I was hoping to have the benefit of the council discussion before I cast my vote. And so, I don't know what the rule is here, Randy, so I'll ask you. I would benefit greatly from hearing a little bit more about your thinking on this issue before I cast a vote. I don't know that I have the right to pass.
Hold on. Yeah. As a point of rule, you don't have the right to pass. We did have an opportunity for council discussion. Nobody chose to discuss it. I think you are required to cast your vote now without, I mean, you can't pass, you can't defer your vote until Commissioner Leonard votes.
Okay, well, I'm reserving my time and engaging Commissioner Leonard in the colloquy. Is that permitted?
Well, given that this is a tentative vote, there will be further direction following. I mean, there is a motion on the table. There's a vote taking place. You need to take part in that, but there will be room for discussion as you are directing staff and others what to do in
Do we necessarily have to vote in the same order all the time? Can't we?
Yes. yes, I've looked into that before, and the current rules are yes.
Well, let me just pose the question to council, because I think it's an important precedent. There are some issues that I could use some clarification on. To the extent a colleague has a strong view on that, I would welcome their input. If I'm reserving my time,
you can't do that.
Well, I'd like to have a ruling from council on it.
You could go to the bathroom.
There will be time.
That's what us more experienced folks do.
As our attorneys made it clear, this
and then
is
we
a
wait until it's our
open,
turn to vote.
Open meeting.
Excuse me. As our attorney made clear, this is a tentative decision. The findings will come back to us for a final vote. But the rules of the council are that you vote in the order that you're called.
So I'm seeking clarification from that from council.
Well, Dan is the presiding officer.
I'm the presiding officer.
I'm just asking council for...
She can't... Yeah, she... Yeah.
The only way to challenge an order of the president of the council is by majority vote.
I mean, I'm actually okay if I think procedure we could do this is to back up and go back to council discussion with the consent of Commissioner Adams.
As the newest member of the council, I would benefit from a brief council discussion and then go to the vote. And I think given the extent of the testimony and the time, it might be valuable, helpful to me.
And we could just do the vote again.
Okay. I'll go ahead and rule. We'll move back to discussion. We'll nullify Commissioner Adams' vote, and we will have discussion.
No, you ask if I am willing to go backwards, and I am.
Are you willing to go backwards?
I am.
Okay.
So, since we're now back in discussion, Commissioner Leonard, I'd be interested in your view on the subject.
Well, Commissioner Adams, in listening to his vote explanation, I actually amended some of my remarks because he touched on some of the very issues I was going to discuss. I thought that the hearings officer's reasoning was exceptionally thoughtful, and I've read a lot of these hearings officers' reports. And he was right. It's a difficult balance when you're balancing various land use goals. And his final observation was that the Colwood site open space is unique and is a practically irreplaceable asset. So for myself, listening to the testimony, listening to the to both sides, I guess. The first thing I would want to acknowledge is I think that the argument that we need industrial land in Portland is valid. And in fact, I have, as the council remembers, you weren't here, Commissioner Fish, but I think it was 18 months to 2 years ago, we had a quite more acrimonious hearing with neighbors here from the Linton neighborhood that I think some of the proponents of the current appeal might have been present for, wherein they wanted to take industrial land that was zoned industrial and change it to a zoning that was more compatible with what they wanted to have in Linton that would have allowed them more access to the Willamette River. And I think it's fair to say that I actually led the effort to deny that, to keep it as industrial land, really for the reasons that the applicants are giving today. That industrial land is precious, and where it was designated that, I think that the proposals, those that are proposing to change the designation had the burden of proof to change it. And so I don't think I'm being inconsistent today, but I think I'm being actually consistent by applying that same standard to the applicant who now today wants to take open space and make it industrial. I think they actually have the burden of proof to show that that is is more important than maintaining the open space. I have a variety of other reasons for this particular parcel of land that I'll speak to in my vote that isn't as relevant in my reasoning, but I really believe that the hearings officer's observations about those that want to change a zoning designation having the burden of proof upon them to show not just that it's an equal use, but actually that it outweighs the potential use for industrial land outweighs any benefit from the open space is really on them. And I was just not persuaded, unfortunately, as much as I respect the applicants, that they made their case.
I would add, I think, one other point, and that is, in a situation like this, I look at the viability, the economic viability discussion. In a situation like this, I also look at the viability argument. I think that's an important secondary consideration, and the fact that that their application has not presented any burden, that they haven't presented any evidence that they would not be viable by continuing in the current open space designation, weighs on my views of the matter as well, and the fact that there's a golf club up the street. They didn't present any evidence that the golf club up the street is not functioning in a profitable way. They just didn't present any evidence in that regard.
Are you ready for the vote? I'll make my views during the vote.
Did you want to have any discussion?
Yeah, did you want to discuss it?
I want to say this is, I think, our second Wednesday together, and I was very struck by the testimony tonight, and I, like all of us, came in with an open mind and read the material and been struggling with this, and I think it is a tough case. I think, though, I think that the invocation of Olmsted was very poignant because as I've learned more about Olmsted's plans 100 years ago, we have ignored some of those admonitions at our peril. And this is perhaps a point where it is about a generational decision looking forward. So I appreciate the commentary. And I think after an extensive hearing like this with this much testimony, it's helpful for me as the newest and least experienced member in these matters to hear my colleagues discuss this issue. So I appreciate it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
Do I have to give my speech again?
No.
Because I've thought of ways to, flesh it out, make it longer.
Having just come off a plane from China, I'm very impressed.
Fish.
I'm going to read one paragraph from the hearing officer's recommendation. It reads as follows. This is a tough case. I think we can all agree with that.
Thank you.
The application, its supporters, as well as the opponents to the application, all offered extensive evidence and argument. The approval criteria for this case, although relatively short in duration, mandates that the City Council delicately balance highly disparate goals and policies. And that's our challenge, to balance highly disparate goals and policies. There's not a person on this panel that doesn't understand the value of industrial sanctuary land and jobs and care about that as a goal, and at the same time see the need, particularly in a part of the city which is utterly parks deficient, for the historic opportunity to maintain the open space. I've listened very carefully to the evidence. I take seriously my duty to assess the burden of proof and to apply a test. As I said earlier, I think Olmsted was about 100 years ahead of his time in many different areas, and this is a historic opportunity, and we have a chance to look to future generations that could enjoy the benefits of an open space, regardless of what the landowner chooses to use with the space, and that is their right to use the space in any way they choose. But I think we're at a historical crossroads, and this is not just a resource to Concordia and to Cully and to places that are historically underserved. This is a regional resource, and I think this is a history-making decision. I don't make it lightly, but I have listened carefully to the evidence, reviewed the recommendations, taken weight of the burden of proof and the balancing test, And I am prepared to join with the mayor-elect in voting. Make sure I get the, I don't want to get a double negative here, in voting aye.
Leonard.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, and really more in response to one of the applicant's testifiers who said, you know, looking at us, don't make an emotional decision. I inferred that to mean that that we might feel some political pressure to vote for this, and which is why I hearken back to remind those who were around here to watch the much more acrimonious hearing involving the piece of property on the Willamette River in Linton along St. Helens Road, where these chambers were filled with very much differently behaving neighbors than the respectful ones we see here today. They were very angry, had signs, and I could not bring myself, in spite of that pressure and that emotional testimony, to agree that they were right and voted to maintain that property as industrial land. In this case, beyond that, having framed it, I think, correctly that way, I believe there is value beyond economic value, and I think this property has economic value. But beyond that, what hasn't been touched on here tonight, interestingly, isn't just that the open space will be maintained, but really the historical significance of this piece of property. For those of us who are students of history, the Columbia Slough was a body of water that Lewis and Clark camped on in their travels out west and wrote about in their journals. If you look at the journals of Lewis and Clark along the Columbia Slough, they hated it because they couldn't sleep at night because the waterfowl were so loud, and the wildlife was so deafening that they couldn't sleep. I've taken a real interest in the slough when, as a kid, which may explain some of my behaviors as an adult. I used to fish on the slough. and look back in horror now that I was not aware enough of, nor was anybody, of what was leaching into that body of water. But we thought it was fine and enjoyed catfishing there at the time. But it's caused me to really appreciate the restoration efforts that have happened along the slough in the last 20 years, led by the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Multnomah County Drainage District number 6 along the slough. And if you remember what it was like prior to 20 years ago or more and look at it today, it is a shocking transformation that has occurred that you could only appreciate if you have lived here for a long time. In fact, I have such affinity for that area and that space that in the 1999 Oregon legislature, I introduced a bill that would have required that the headwater of the slough at 174th and Marine Drive be reopened to the Columbia River, have a dike installed that could be opened and closed so that the Columbia River would free flow once again as it used to through the entire length of the slough to its terminus at Kelly Point Park. The reasoning being is a excellent salmon habitat and steelhead habitat that is not able to be used now because of the various obstructions, not the least of which is the gate at 174th and Marine Drive. This piece of property is potentially, in my view, one of the most not only prized pieces of open land we might have in the metropolitan area for that reason, but really is a jewel that sits in a community that doesn't have a lot of open space. I think that one needs to think of economic development in terms of amenities that are available in a community that for people that we're trying to attract to move here and businesses. If you move into an industrial park that is nothing but concrete slabs and warehouses, at 5 o'clock at night, people can't wait to get out. If you have an amenity like Coalwood that's available there as open space and is utilized in the way I'm talking about, it could actually be, I think, a magnet to attract business into the other areas around that industrial area. So for a variety of reasons, I think that the hearings officer really got this right, and I appreciated his reasoning. I understand and appreciate BDS staff's work at this as well. It is a difficult issue, but I think on balance, I agree with the hearings officer's recommendation. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, I think our main approval criteria is to determine that the new designation will, on balance, be equally more supportive of the comprehensive plan as a whole than the old designation. And I don't think that the burden of proof has been met here. I think that while it's critically important that we do have inventory of industrial lands, that's a critically important part of our comprehensive plan. It's a critically important thing at this point in our time in history. But the value of private open space in this particular location is also not to be denied. And I think it is significant open space, and I think it contributes. If you look at the picture of the Columbia Slough and the green spaces that it connects, I think the string of pearls somebody used, I do find this consistent. As private open space, it does contribute to environmental values that we hold important and that are identified as important in our comprehensive plan. As I said, economic development, industrial jobs are critically important too, but on balance, I don't think the applicant has met that burden of proof, and I find the value of private open space to be greater, and for that reason, I also vote to uphold the hearings officer. Aye. So the vote is unanimous, 4-0, and we will bring back revised findings. The applicant will have the chance up to 7 days to submit additional findings.
So what will happen now is the applicant will have 7 days to submit final argument without new evidence. Based on the discussion today, I assume staff will assume that it should come back with findings consistent with that, but with knowledge that when we come back for a final decision, that may change. We need to continue this hearing to a date and time certain for those findings, but we probably need to ask staff how long they think they would need. Obviously, it's going to be greater than 7 days, but how long they think they would need to address this, and also ask Sue when we have time available with this group of commissioners.
Sheila, do you want to come up here and tell us how much time you think you'll need?
From the perspective of BDS staff, the seven-day timeline is workable. However, the city attorney's participation in preparing the findings is essential, so I think her timeline is really critical.
Okay. I guess you're asking me instead of staff. Sorry.
It's back to you.
So we would need to we're going to need to respond to the final argument, and staff is going to work on it, and then we would review. I would not think it would be reasonable for it to come back any sooner than 3 or 4 weeks, frankly. And 4 weeks would probably be nice to have that amount of time. So I don't know what we have schedule-wise.
Sue, do you know offhand if there's...
October 22nd would be 4 weeks, even five weeks.
Okay.
Mayor Potter will be out, but the rest of you are scheduled currently to be in.
Great. Well, then let's shoot
2 o'clock.
Is that a Thursday or a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday.
And is it the fourth? Which?
Right. It's the fourth Wednesday in October.
Okay.
So 2 o'clock on Wednesday, October 22nd. Is that fine with everybody? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. And thank the staff for the hard work. So we stand adjourned until 2 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you. I appreciate your comment.